گھومتا پہیا کینیڈا کی معیشت کی ترقی کا ضامن۔ آپ کا ٹرک سڑکوں پر راج کرے اور کینیڈا کی معیشت ترقی کی راہ پر گامزن رہے۔ ٹرک مینول یا پھر آٹومیٹک، ٹرک کی بہترین سروس کے لیے کوئک ٹرک لیو تھرو آؤٹ انٹیریو، نو اپوائنٹمنٹ نیڈیڈ، ڈرائیو تھرو فیسلٹی، ون اسٹاپ شاپ۔ اب تیسری لوکیشن ایگزٹ 579 فرام ہائی وے 401 ان نیپنی، کوئک ٹرک لیو 519-622-0660، quicktruckloop.com۔
مدعی لاکھ برا چاہے تو کیا ہوتا ہے، اور وہی ہوتا ہے جو منظور خدا ہوتا ہے۔ گڈ مارننگ ایوری ون، اور نمستے، نمسکار، سیتارام، اور السلام علیکم، اینڈ ا ویری وارم ویلکم ٹو یور ارلی مارننگ ایڈیشن آف شبنم، اینڈ اسپیشلی ڈیزائنڈ ٹو اسسٹ یو وتھ یور ارلی مارننگ چوائس اینڈ ٹو پٹ یو ان اے پازیٹو اینڈ گڈ فریم آف مائنڈ اینڈ ٹو آلسو اگنائٹ اسپارکس آف اسپرچوئل انسپریشن ٹو یو اینڈ یور لوڈ ونز۔ جہاں کہیں آپ موجود ہو، اپنے کاموں سے ذرا سی مبلٹ لے کر ان مستانوں کو سننے کے لیے تیار ہو جائیے، اور اے بہارے باغ ارنیا چند روز، دیکھ لو اس کا تماشا چند روز، اور اے مسافر کوچ کا سامان کر، اسلام ہے بسیرا چند روز۔
سیتارام ستری کا جے گو ڈاکٹر سائرام، السلام علیکم، گڈ آفٹر نون ایوری بڈی۔ ویل ویل، اٹس سیٹرڈے، ہوپ یو ہیڈ اے گڈ ویک اینڈ ریڈی فور دی ویکینڈ۔ سم آف اس ہیو ٹو ورک ٹوڈے، بٹ آئی ہوپ اٹ وڈ بی این انجویبل ڈے نیور دا لیس۔ And I know many of us enjoy what we do, right? It's just getting off of bed on a Saturday could be a little bit.
Very nice.
Well, we are here keeping you company right until 4 o'clock. And today, boy, we have a nice program lineup. Want to engage you to join us here? You can simply call us at 416-848-7772. That's the studio line, 416-848-7772. Did you know you can listen by simply dialing on your phone 647-872-4900? That number again is
647-872-4900. This is a hard one.
Want to welcome indeed Nanda and of course Miss Sunshine, Alif Mustafa, and all our online listeners who have been joining us throughout the morning, welcome. And the one listener we have in Germany, want to say hello. Hope you stay with us until 4 o'clock. Hey, on today's program at 1:30, I will be playing for you an interview that we did with The Honourable Anil Nandalal, Minister of Legal Affairs and Attorney General of Guyana. If you remember, we had the opposition leader here last year, and everybody was asking when we would get to hear a rebuttal of what the charges that were laid by the opposition leader. Well, we addressed some of those issues with the Attorney General, and of course, this is the first of many interviews that we'll be having on a new television program we started, Live Wire, Your Diasporic Connection. We're very proud to have the Honourable Minister on, Attorney General Anil Nandalal. That I would share with you at 1:30. So please, I'm giving you head notice so you could invite your friends and family members, especially if you're from Guyana, to tune in and check that one out. Again, you can listen to us at www.shubdomradio.com or 770 AM WTR right here in the GTA. And of course, on telephone, you can dial 647-872-4900. Want to say hello to Shamji Ali, who is currently in Guyana and will be producing TVZ out of Guyana, a different version of it. You'd hear a live version today, so stay with us. This and much more coming your way. But right now, we want to say hello and kick it off something like this. Welcome to Radio Shabnam. To WhatsApp me or text me, 416-832-7293. 416-832-7293. Hey, Shoba and company, welcome. Want to say a hello and a special welcome to Wendy Macedo. Trinidad and Tobago in the house. You say hello and welcome to the folks out in Manaham, Princess Town.
Down. भाभी तेरी बहना को माना, ओ भाभी तेरी बहना को माना, हाय राम कुड़ियों का है जमाना, हाय राम कुड़ियों का है जमाना, रब्बा मेरे मुझको बचाना, ओ रब्बा मेरे मुझको बचाना, हाय राम कुड़ियों का है जमाना, हाय राम कुड़ियों का है जमाना। जो मैंने न माना, खतावार हूँ मैं नाया निभाना, सजा जो भी दोगी वो मंजूर होगी, अजी मेरी मुश्किल कभी दूर होगी, बंदा है ये खुद से बेगाना, अजी बंदा है ये खुद से बेगाना, हाय राम कुड़ियों का है जमाना,
हाय राम
कुड़ियों का है जमाना,
हाय राम
कुड़ियों का है जमाना,
हाय राम
कुड़ियों का है जमाना,
हाय राम
कुड़ियों का है
Canada is hosting Hanuman Satsang on Caribbean Showtime TV, Shabnam Radio and U97.5 Hot Like Pepper Radio. This special Hanuman Satsang is supported by the Devi Mandir of Pickering, the Shiva Ganesh Mandir, Brampton, Sankat Mochan Hanuman Mandir in Ajax, the Rameshwar Mandir and Cultural Sabha in Brampton, Sri Krishna Sudama Mandir in Brampton, the Shiva Mandir and Cultural Organization in Scarborough, the Satya Jyoti Cultural Sabha in Brampton, Sri Radha Krishna Cultural and Community Center in Brampton, Pandit Krishnadat Maharaj of Canada, Pandit Abedanand Prasad Sharma of Trinidad and Tobago, Pandit Bimal Maharaj of Florida. Let us all enjoy the love and blessings of Hanumanji. Jai Shri Ram, Jai Shri Hanuman.
Bali ki tras kapis basai giri, jat Mahaprabhu panth niharo.
Well, friends, don't forget that's coming up next week, Saturday, as we will be doing it live on television and radio. And of course, we ask you, please help us spread the word and do join us on that day. Also in Trinidad and Tobago, we will be carrying it live on U97.5 Hot Like Pepper Radio. Anand Ramprasad Singh and his team in Trinidad. Also, we're working on we're not confirming yet, but they're working on to see if we can carry it live on television or radio also in Trinidad and, in Guyana. So do stay tuned and we share that with you. Right now, I'd like to share with you the Hanuman Chalisa, as we do usually at this time. Today, I'd like to dedicate it to all those who, over the years and especially more recently, that have been supporting us by sponsoring the Hanuman Chalisa. May Hanuman Baba continue to live in your hearts. And again, we invite you all to join us next week for a special Hanuman Satsang right here on Shabdam Radio.
Shri Guru Charan Saroj Raj Nij Man Mukur Sudhari Baranau Raghubar Bimal Jasu Jodayak Phal Chari Buddhihin Tanu Jani Ke Sumiro Pavan Kumar Bal Budhi Vidya Dehu Mohi Harahu Kales Bikar हाथ वज्र और ध्वजा विराजे, कांधे मूंज जनेऊ साजे, शंकर सुवन केसरी नंदन, तेज प्रताप महाजग बंदन। विद्यावान गुणी अति चातुर, राम काज करिबे को आतुर, प्रभु चरित्र सुनिबे को रसिया, राम लखन सीता मन बसिया, सूक्ष्म रूप धरि सिहि दिखावा, विकट रूप धरि लंक जरावा, भीम रूप धरि असुर सहारे, रामचंद्र के काज सवारे। लाए सजीवन लखन जियाए, श्री रघुवीर हरषि उर लाए, रघुपति कीनी बहुत बड़ाई, तुम मम प्रिय भरत ही सम भाई, सहस बदन तुम्हारो जस गावे, अस कही श्रीपति कंठ लगावे, सनकादिक ब्रह्मादि मुनीसा, नारद सारद सहित सहीसा, जम कुबेर दिगपाल जाते, कभी को विद कही सके काते, तुम उपकार सुग्री वही कीन्हा, राम मिलाय राज पद दीन्हा, तुम्हरो मंत्र विभीषण माना, लंकेश्वर भय सब जग जाना, जुग सहस्त्र जो जन पर भानु, लील्योताही मधुर फल जानु, प्रभु मुद्रिका मेली मुख माही, जलधि लांघि गए अचरज नाही, दुर्गम काज जगत के जेते, सुगम अनुग्रह तुम्हारे देते, राम द्वारे तुम रखवारे, होत ना क्या बिनु पैसारे, सब सुख लहे तुम्हारी सरना, तुम रक्षक काहू को डरना, पापन तेज समारो आपे, तीनों लोक हाँकते कांपे, भूत पिशाच निकट नहीं आवे, महावीर जब नाम सुनावे, नासे रोग हरे सब पीरा, जपत निरंतर हनुमत बीरा, संकट से हनुमान छुड़ावे, मन क्रम वचन ध्यान जोड़ावे, सब पर राम तपस्वी राजा, तिनके काज सकल तुम साजा, और मनोरथ जो कोई लावे, सोई अमित जीवन फल पावे, चारों जुग परताप रसायन तुम्हारे पासा सदा रहो रघुपति के दासा तुम्हारे भजन राम को पावे जन्म जन्म के दुख बिसरावे अंत काल रघुबर पुर जाई जहाँ जन्म हरि भक्त कहाई और देवता चित्त न धरई हनुमत से सर्व सुख करई संकट कटे मिटे सब पीरा जो सुमिरे हनुमत बल बीरा जय 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 हनुमान गोसाई कृपा करहु गुरुदेव की नाई जो सत बार पाठ कर कोई छूट ही बंदी महा सुख होई सदा हरि चेरा की जय नाथ हृदय महडेरा की जय नाथ हृदय महडेरा
पवन तनया संकट हरन मंगल राम लखन सीता सहित हृदय बसहु सुर भू
The Hanuman Chalisa presented today by us here at Shabdam Radio in Caribbean Showtime. And guess what? Next week we would be taking the whole program and dedicating it to Hanuman Baba. So please do join us. And we have a lot of pundits and temples line up to join us on that day. And we want to say thank you in advance. We're asking you, please help us spread the word. And anyone who would like to attend our in-studio streaming of that, we have a few space available. We'd love to invite some of you to come on out. So if you'd like to, please let me know. Limited, because it's not a big place, right? But of course, we'd be streaming it back. You would hear all the budgets and everything else. Coming up after this commercial break, that interview with the Honorable Minister, the Attorney General of Guyana, and Minister of Legal Affairs, Anil Nandalal. That's coming up at 1:30.
Home Canada is hosting Hanuman Satsang on Caribbean Showtime TV, Shabnam Radio and U97.5 Hot Like Pepper Radio. This special Hanuman Satsang is supported by the Devi Mandir of Pickering, the Shiva Ganesh Mandir, Brampton, Sankat Mochan Hanuman Mandir in Ajax, the Rameshwar Mandir and Cultural Sabha in Brampton, Sri Krishna Sudama Mandir in Brampton, the Shiva Mandir and Cultural Organization in Scarborough, the Satya Jyoti Cultural Sabha in Brampton, Sri Radha Krishna Cultural and Community Center in Brampton. Pandit Krishnadat Maharaj of Canada. Pandit Abedanand Prasad Sharma of Trinidad and Tobago. Pandit Bimal Maharaj of Florida. Let us all enjoy the love and blessings of Hanumanji. Jai Shri Ram. Jai Shri Hanuman.
Bali ki tras kapis basai giri jat mahaprabhu panth niharo.
Join us this Valentine's for Love Through the Ages on Sunday, February 19th at the prestigious St. Peter and Paul Banquet Hall in Scarborough. You will be greeted with a free signature cocktail followed by live performances depicting moments of love through the ages. Bring your sweethearts to dance the night away with music by internationally acclaimed DJ Kevin and Toronto's finest, Marksman the DJ. This is an exclusive event and pre-booking is required. Call Shoba at 416-722-3998 or Patricia at 416-722-3998. 705-0053 to reserve your limited VIP table and bottle service, or simply go to ticketgateway.com/lovethroughtheages. Come and celebrate with your loved ones and experience love through the ages. This is yet another STCC production and is proudly sponsored by Artistic Hair Salon.
Shipping never been so easy. You want shipping in a hurry. One brand serving the whole nation. Lavakan, Lavakan. Door to door service, never late. Ocean cargo and your air freight. In a hurry, don't waste no time. Express shipping when you're shopping online. Warehousing to consolidate. With Lavakan, you don't have to wait. Shipping never been so easy. You want shipping in a hurry. One brand serving the whole nation. Lavakan. Visit.
Well, we are proud to present today that interview that we did on a new program entitled Live Wire, Your Diasporic Connection. Watch out, we have new guests coming weekly for that special program. And again, this segment is brought to you to the kind compliments of Live Wire on CSTV. This interview would be seen again tomorrow at 11 o'clock on CSTV. You can join it at www.caribbeanshowtime.com if you don't have an IPTV box. But of course, those of you with the box, we would be replaying it again tomorrow morning. Do join us. But now, here is the audio of that interview.
This is LiveWire, your diasporic connection with Richard Aziz.
Welcome indeed to Live Wire. This is a new program on CSTV Network, and I'm very happy to be bringing the first episode with one of the more prominent public speakers of the Caribbean, one who have always admired and followed, Attorney General of Guyana, the Honorable Anil Nandolal. Welcome to our program. Welcome to Live Wire.
Richard, and thank you for accommodating me and inviting me to be part of this program. And I want to take this opportunity to extend to you and your viewers and listeners a very prosperous and happy 2023.
Well, it's our first interview since you in office as Attorney General, so I really feel honored to have you on our program, and welcome back to the airways of Caribbean Showtime and Shabnam Radio.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we have so much to discuss in this half hour. I wanted to start off first by getting straight into it with an issue or question on the topic that everybody is talking about, oil. Oil and gas discovery has catapulted Guyana fortunes. In the year 2023, the Caribbean region is only expected to record 1.3% of GDP growth rate. Guyana, however, is expected to record a 30% growth rate, the highest in the region. Wanted to ask you, what legal mechanism that you and your government is utilizing to ensure the fortune is not squandered and it's left for the future generation?
Thank you very much, Richard, and that's a very important and interesting question. So you pointed to growth rate, and you have made a connection between the oil and gas sector and our rising growth rate. But I want to point out that not only is our economy growing in the oil and gas sector, but we are also growing in the non-oil and gas sector at perhaps the fastest rate also in the Caribbean. No doubt there is a connection between the two, but we must always maintain or recognize growth in the oil and gas sector as well as growth outside of the oil and gas sector. Why that distinction is important? It's because we are diversifying our economy, utilizing and using resources derived from the oil and gas sector. We are not making the mistake made by so many other oil producing territories of over concentrating in that one sector. Rather, we are using the proceeds of that sector, recognizing that it is a sector that is exhaustive, and ensuring that proper investments are made in the other sectors so that the dependency is not sole and exclusive, but rather spread along different economic activities, creating different revenue streams, more particularly in sectors that are even more sustainable. For example, in Guyana, our most important sector is the agro sector, because we have an abundance of land, we have great weather patterns and conditions, and we have the ability to feed not only Guyana, but the entire Caribbean, and to play a pivotal role in terms of food security for this part of the world, not region. Recognizing that, we are ensuring that we invest in sectors outside of the oil and gas sector. Also importantly, we are addressing the main issue that has perhaps affected economic advancement in Guyana, and that is the cost of energy. So we are not only concentrating on the oil and gas sector, but also in making energy, producing energy at a lower cost, exploring not only resources in the oil and gas sector, but in other sectors as well, including hydro and wind and solar. So we have a full national platform that addresses all the developmental concerns of our country. Now, you have asked me a particular question: what are the legal mechanisms in place? Now, economic advancement cannot take place in a vacuum. Economic advancement must take place in an infrastructure that is recognized by law and that is based upon law. So we are in the process of creating that important regulatory framework for the oil and gas sector, and we have to build from ground zero in that regard, because it's a brand new sector. And then also we have to create the requisite national infrastructure legally that will permit the type of development to take place along the trajectory that we are planning to take our country. So, first of all, the regulatory framework, we are working on that in terms of creating a new petroleum law. We have a Petroleum Act that was coined and enacted long before we became an oil producer. So it is completely out of sync with the current realities in Guyana. Then we had to install the local content legislation. Why? Because we felt unless we regulate the way resources are spent and the way employment is done and the way investments are done in this sector, Guyanese, because they are untrained in the sector, because the sector is new, and because we don't have an antecedent of resources in this sector in terms of human resources and other infrastructure resources, if we don't regulate the sector and activities in the sector, Guyanese can easily become pushed out of the sector because of the fact that the operators in the sector, the licensees in particular, ExxonMobil, has 100 years of international experience covering every aspect of the industry. So they have historical linkages with powerful companies across the globe offering every possible service in the sector. Now, if we don't regulate that sector in Guyana and we allow all these linkages to come and all these other companies from all over the world to come into Guyana and continue to operate with ExxonMobil without any form of regulation, Guyanese will have no play, no part to play in the sector. They would have been pushed out completely. Hence, the implementation of a law that mandates the hiring of Guyanese and the hiring of Guyanese companies, both in the realm of employment as well as for the provision of goods and services. And the law is now public knowledge, and it was well publicized, so the requirements are well known. Before one can operate in the oil and gas sector, one must satisfy the requirements of the Act. You must be a Guyanese national or a Guyanese company, or you must be partnering with a Guyanese company, where the Guyanese company must own 51% of the shares and about 85% of the management of the company. Of course, that is not so for every sector, because while we want to push nationalism and national participation, and would like to ensure that Guyanese enjoy their due patrimony, we can't do so to the exclusion of other players in the sector where Guyanese can't produce or Guyanese do not have the resources that are requisite. We have to strike that delicate balance while we want to promote local participation in the industry. We also must recognize that local participation may not be enough, and there are sectors, there are areas of activities that we simply don't have the resources in Guyana to address. Therefore, in those areas, you bring in foreign nationals and you bring in foreign resources. And there's a schedule in the law that addresses that. The other important statutory framework that we have put into place is how are we going to receive and how are we going to expend the resources that we are getting from the oil industry, that is the revenue. So there are models in the world, because you can get an avalanche of revenue from the oil and gas industry that can put an economy into tailspin and has caused problems all over the world. So there are international regulatory practices that have been coined and evolved that guide or act as guiding principles for oil producing countries. There is, for example, the creation of a sovereign wealth oil fund, and we have done that in the form of an account, and monies, revenues from the oil and gas industry goes into that fund, and there is a law that creates the fund. And that law also regulates how monies are withdrawn from that fund and for what purposes they are withdrawn and are spent. And there are a series of checks, balances, and oversight to ensure that there is accountability and transparency in the receipt and expenditure of revenue generated from the oil and gas sector. For example, monies coming into the sovereign wealth fund must go straight into the consolidated fund and must do so and can only come out of the consolidated fund when there is, it has to be come out of the consolidated fund through a parliamentary process. And the monies, as they are moving within these various accounts, they are publicly declared. And the law establishes a list of purposes for which the monies are to be used. And they are all related to national development and in the public interest. And then there are layers of oversight within the legislation that allows for non-governmental, non-political players to oversight the functioning of this infrastructure that regulates the inflow, the receipt and expenditure of the oil revenue. Also, the Auditor General audits all these transactions on an annual basis, and the law allows him to retain any international auditor to aid and assist him in the discharge of his functions should he feel that, you know, he needs international expertise. So those are a few things that I can talk about quickly.
Yeah, and that's a lot. I know we could dig deeper into some of the other aspects that would relate to fellow Guyanese living abroad. But I wanted to move on. You touched on making sure that Guyanese are involved in the process and that outsiders wouldn't be overwhelmed, hired into the country and into that sector. What are you doing and your government? Because I remember back in 1976, Guyana have received free education from nursery to university. It was your government, I believe, had put a stop to free education at university level. And that was free when Guyana was a poor, undeveloped country. Now with the newfound wealth, would we see free education for Guyanese at the university level?
Well, first of all, in the 70s, the period that you are referring to, we had a declared policy of free education from nursery to university. And that essentially led to a collapse of the education sector. And education, though free, the standard had fallen to an extent that we were barely able to provide spaces in our schools for the number of children. And we had a large number of school dropouts, etc., etc. But that's a whole different conversation altogether. We are pursuing policies and programs that are designed and dedicated to ensure that the proceeds of oil and the revenue generated from the oil and gas sector are enjoyed by every single Guyanese. In fact, the programs that we have employed so far in the utilization and expenditure of oil revenues have been recognized and applauded by the IMF, the World Bank, and the IDB in recent international reports. They lauded Guyana's, the way that Guyana has used the revenue generated from the oil and gas sector in targeted help to different socially, economically challenged components of our society. And that is the way that we will continue to use the oil and gas money, quite apart from the developmental and transformational projects that they will be used to finance, but at a social level and at every aspect of the social level, in terms of healthcare, in terms of education, in terms of provision of water, provision of electricity, salaries and wages, pensions, and all benefits spreading across national life from a social perspective, they are all going to be addressed in the fairest and most equitable manner. Already we have begun to speak about free education at the level of the University of Guyana. But we have to ensure that we finance these endeavors in a sustainable way. Because you can have deep and far-reaching ramifications at a macroeconomic level leading to inflation, etc. Or even reach at a stage where if, let us say, the oil and gas sector is still a volatile sector on the world market, the price can fluctuate at any time, as it has done over the past five or more years. Trinidad, your country of birth, has experienced that and can tell you how it has been at the mercy of the oil and gas market and the fluctuation that takes place in that market. So one has to plan in a sustainable way, having regard to all those factors, and don't, you know, project too much into one sector, and don't do it ahead of time, but await at the opportune moment and do it in a manner that is sustainable, having regard to all the facts and circumstances prevailing at the time, including factors which are outside of our control. For example, the way the price of oil may fluctuate on the in the international market. Recall also, Richard, that we are not, at least at this stage, we are not really selling oil. We are just receiving royalty. Yeah. So a lot of what happens in the world market, etc., we don't necessarily gain from it. But it's a factor that we must always remain alive to. So I hope I would have answered that question.
Well, yes, in a bit, because I'm thinking about our trained workforce in Guyana. They should be trained and educated, and at a tertiary level or university level would add some access to that such training. But want to move on, because we are only allotted a half hour today, and you know, I could sit for an hour or two with you, because the amount of questions that I would like to ask, and I know you're not short on answers. Speaking about ExxonMobil, there's a lot of talk that the deal with ExxonMobil and its partners has lopsided, and perhaps the former government should have done better. Legally, can the government scrap the contract? And part two to that question is, what is your government plans to address future contracts?
Before I get to that, I omitted to mention the government's university scholarship program, in which we are enrolling thousands of students per year and funding their education by way of correspondence courses and internet platform courses from universities across the globe, right? So that, and that is free, of course. Government is funding that. But get to your question. Yours truly, and in fact our entire party, while we were in opposition, were extremely critical of the contract to which you are referring. I myself may have been the one who used the phrase lopsided first to describe that contract, and that phrase caught on and now is permanently associated with the contract. ExxonMobil, Richard, is an international company that is engaged in business for profits. ExxonMobil got an extraordinarily good deal. It was a contract executed by two parties that are qualified, or who are qualified to enter into contract. They did so consciously. They did so transparently, meaning that there was no hidden act of coercion or duress being exercised by one party over another. And they enter into a contract which, for all intent and purposes, though lopsided, is valid. Now, a contract, as you would know, can only be altered by consent. Now, if we can get ExxonMobil to come back to the table, that's good. But what people don't understand is that, you know, in a free market system and in an international atmosphere where we must respect sanctity of contracts and respect bargains, then you know, what do you do? What we have promised is that new contracts being entered into going forward will be different. And that's why, unlike our predecessor, we have a number of international law firms advising the government on the oil and gas industry. I, as Attorney General, don't for one moment pretend to understand the complex legal issues and the peculiar legal principles and doctrines associated with this industry, especially having regard to the fact that you're dealing with a company that has 100 years experience and that has the financial wherewithal to employ and retain the best lawyers on planet Earth. I am aware of that. We are conscious of that. Hence, we have not one, but more than one law firms of international standing advising the government on these matters. Our predecessors felt that they were qualified and competent to do so, and perhaps that may have been the reason why we ended up with the contract that we did.
Well, I wanted to ask you also, as Attorney General, your government, the PPP Civic, has promised constitutional reform. You are now in your third year as government. Explain the process and why does it seem to be taking longer to accomplish this task?
All right, and that's a very important question. And I am very properly poised to answer that because I am the subject minister in respect of constitutional reform. Now, not only did the PPP promise constitutional reform as a manifesto promise, all the political parties campaigned on a promise to pursue constitutional reform. In fact, it has been an outstanding promise on the manifesto of every political party over the past two decades. When the opposition controlled the parliament, they took possession. That's after the 2011 elections. Remember, we were in a minority government. They controlled the National Assembly. They campaigned heavily on constitutional reform. They took control of the Constitutional Reform Committee of the National Assembly, but delivered nothing. They won the 2015 election. Again, they promised constitutional reform. They took control of the Standing Committee on Constitutional Reform in the National Assembly, but did nothing for constitutional reform. We are there now, and we have already put a bill in the National Assembly, and in the bill, we have projected our promise of how we will execute constitutional reform. We said that we are going to do it, first of all, through a multi-broad-based commission comprising of 50% politicians and 50% civil society. The 50% politicians will come from the parliamentary parties, 25% government, 25% opposition. So you have a balanced political faction of the commission. And then civil society organization, completely divorced from politics, they will constitute the 50%. And they will nominate their own representatives, not government choosing who their nominees are going to be. We said that we will put that in a law, and we will put in the law that this exercise must be done by this commission, holding public consultations across the length and breadth of our country. So nobody can say, accuse us of politicizing the process. That is the formula that we used in 1999 to 2000, when the PPP was in government. Again, we put that law in the parliament. It was sent to a select committee because significantly, Richard, your viewers must understand that constitutional reform of worth cannot be achieved until you have bipartisan support in the parliament. Because every important provision of our constitution that may require change requires a two-thirds majority in the National Assembly before there can be a change. None of the political parties enjoy that majority in the National Assembly. So any provision that needs to be changed will require support or a consensus between the opposition and the government. When we were in the select committee with this bill, we had to virtually drag the opposition to get them to contribute. If you would recall, I chaired that committee, and I am on public record for the past 2 years criticizing the opposition, either for not attending the committee, or when they come to the committee, they are not in a position to make a constructive contribution. And as I said, it would be imprudent to proceed unilaterally on constitutional reform because you need the support of both sides. That stalled the process a bit, well, not a bit, but a lot. But eventually, a few months ago, the bill was passed in the National Assembly. It came out of the Constitutional Reform Committee of the National Assembly consensually after great delay on the part of the opposition. Unfortunately, again, when it reached the floor of the Parliament, though they supported it in the standing committee, when it reached the floor of the Parliament, they did not turn up. So, but it was passed. But as I said, it enjoyed their support in the standing committee. I am hoping shortly, early this year, as the bill is now law, the president